demand transparency. Hands down, you should absolutely have no issue getting any financials for either the property or, if needed, the sponsor themselves to make sure that they have adequate reserves when they are acquiring a deal.
If you're a residential real estate agent earning $200,000 a year and you want to grow your passive income, this show's for you. Learn the secrets other agents use and hear from experts in our field in order to guide you along your journey to investing in assets like apartment communities so that you can turn your commissions into cash flow. I'm Randall DeCleard. Let's go, baby.
All right. Welcome back to Agents Building Cash Flow. I'm excited to be back again today for a solo episode. Talk to you guys about what may be considered a controversial topic, I guess, just bringing it out in the open. Shouldn't be, but really wanted to talk about some of the ethical violations maybe a syndicator or an operator could come up with. And so really, when you're going through and you're looking at a deal or an offering and everything is moving up and to the right, like the market is just booming and busting, it's very unlikely that something bad may happen just because a big upswing in the property values solves and fixes a lot of problems that are potentially underlying in maybe an operator's operations or a syndicator's operations. And so in recent times, a lot of these issues, because the market has changed and not everything is a home run, are coming to light. These issues or ethics violations could be coming up. And so I just wanted to address them and take a look at them. I covered this early on, a bunch of questions that you can ask syndicators. Go back and listen to some of the very first episodes that I did. But this is dealing specifically with some of the ethics things. So, all right, we're going to go over five different items that could be ethical issues that you should focus on. And then I'm going to provide you with some solutions or some ways to make sure that you're being covered when you're looking at some of these investments. So one of the first things is lack of transparency. So syndicators should provide you with a full range of financials for any deal that you're looking at. It's not unheard of to ask for the syndicator themselves, their financials as well, just so that you can get a full picture of all the risks that are associated with those deals. Let's cover all the issues first, and then we'll go over some of the solutions. So second thing could be inadequate due diligence on the syndicator's part. So this could come from simple lack of understanding, lack of knowledge, lack of transactional history in the space. And so if someone on the team, on the syndicator's team, doesn't have a track record of performing full cycle deals, which means they've bought, they've operated, and then they've exited those deals, then you really want to take a second look if you want to put money in that deal. There really should be somebody with a high degree of competency on the team that is doing whatever it is that you're investing in. So if it's a large 200 unit apartment complex and it's a very new investor who's never done anything like that, then someone on the team hopefully has that experience. It could be a key principal on the deal who's advising the deal. So they're always there on those asset management calls. They're making sure they're looking over the shoulder. They're taking care of them. So we'll dive again into that in just a second. But lack of due diligence, it's inexcusable. There should be plenty of time on the contract to get the due diligence done. But that's a key ethical violation that you should look out for. Third would be conflicts of interest. So an example of that would be getting a kickback that's undisclosed to anyone in the deal. So any limited partners coming in the deal, the syndicator is getting a kickback in some form from a third party, from referral fees or anything that's not disclosed. It's going to be hard for you to find that out, but we'll discuss some of the solutions in just a second. But just keep an eye out for that. They should disclose everything and you should see it front and center. Depending on how it's structured, this could be an ethical problem. So unequal treatment of investors in a deal. So don't confuse that with Class A and Class B shares. It's more so, hey, Johnny invested $1 million, so I'm going to make sure he gets better financials, better reporting, more communication than Sally, who invested, $25,000. There should be no favoritism in that respect. It should be across the board. Everybody gets the same level of investor relations and investor treatment. So, and then finally, it's inadequate investor protection. So all syndicators should have safeguards in place. You should have proper legal documentation. So if you're not getting legal documentation, that's a red flag. Should have regular and transparent communication to investors. And so not using like a third-party custodian for funds, for certain types of funds, or using a trust account and that sort of thing. It's just not protecting the investors' dollars So we'll talk about some of the solutions that you can look for in that situation as well. So right after this, we're going to come back with the solutions and things that you should look for. But now a word from our sponsors.
We're proud to be sponsored by Ridgeline Investment Group. Ridgeline has a track record of transacting more than $53 million in assets throughout Texas. Ridgeline's currently looking to acquire 100 to 200 unit Class B multifamily communities between 5 and 20 million in San Antonio, Temple, Waco, Tyler, and other Texas secondary markets. To learn more about Ridgeline Investment Group, visit www.ridgelineig.com.
Okay, so now let's cover, we've addressed some of those issues and some of the ethical concerns that some sponsors may be at fault of. And so now I want to talk about some of the things that you can do to protect yourself when that may come up. So first thing is demand transparency. Hands down, you should absolutely have no issue getting any financials for either the property or, if needed, the sponsor themselves to make sure that they have adequate reserves when they are acquiring a deal. I literally just had an interview with a guy named John Brixen. He is with McKinney Realty Capital, and he's a lender in this space, in the multifamily space. And he was saying, you're talking about key principal reserves and how if you're taking on a certain type of loan right now in this market, doing a heavy lift on a value add type of property, you want to make sure that the key principals and the sponsors of the deal have enough reserves in their personal accounts to cover any unexpected costs that may arise. And so that was just one example of a way that you can demand transparency to make sure that you are protected as an investor. Because what happens in those situations, if the sponsor doesn't have enough capital to put their own money into the deal, you're going to get a capital call, which means, hey, all investors, we need to raise $500,000 in order for us to repave the parking lot. Or, hey, interest rates went up and now we're in a situation where we can't use the cash flow as distributions. We actually have to pay higher in debt service. So whatever that looks like, I mean, that would change your debt service anyway, but it's just making sure that there's coverage on the sponsorship team so that it's not going to be left up to the limited partners to put more capital in the deal. I'm not saying that's impossible. That doesn't happen. Absolutely does happen, but you can protect yourself and your invested dollars if you know that that team is stronger. All right. Second thing, conduct your own due diligence. It's somewhat difficult if you're not always in the space and you're not always looking at these types of investments. So first thing you can do is work with somebody you know, like a trust, and somebody who you know has a track record of exiting deals and making a profit, returning capital, being honest with investors, and that sort of thing. But on the due diligence side, there are some things that you can do when you're looking at deals, and I'll keep it with multifamily specifically. Do some basic checks, right? Again, we talk about some of the return profiles, and if there's a deal that you're looking at from the sponsor, and it says rents are going to go from $900 to $2,000, and there's no real clear path on how that's going to happen. It's just like, we assume without doing any repairs that this thing is going to go from $900 to $2,000. If you're reading through the EOM or the offering memorandum or the offering documents from the sponsor, and that's the business plan, and there's no, we're going to add $50,000 a unit and it's a full reposition or whatever that looks like, that's a quick and easy way to key in that that is not a realistic expectation of what that property is going to do in the near future. So that's one way. And you can do your own checks. You can get on apartments.com. You can check out a number of rent websites to make sure that the rents for comparable properties in the area for the subject property are in line with what they are saying they can get. So that's not very difficult to do. Some of the other things that we always look at and discuss, there's a thing called the cap rate, and we've talked about it a number of times. But if the going in cap rate of a property is, say, 5% or 6% now, and then the sales cap rate is lower on exit, say it's a 4% cap rate, I mean, that's a massive spread and should be a red flag that the operator is assuming that all of the profits on that deal are going to come at the end of the deal because the property is appreciated so much. And so that should just be a red flag. Simple things on the due diligence side that you can look at to just check their numbers to make sure that the assumptions are right. So happy to dive into that, discuss that more. Just ping me and I'll chat with you on a one-on-one and we can go over that. The third thing is evaluating the conflicts of interest. You know, so we talk about that being an ethical issue. If a sponsor is not disclosing any additional income they're making in the deal in any form or fashion, that's a problem. It's just that in general, they're not being honest and upfront with you. It's not saying they can't earn those fees or commissions or whatever it is that it is. It's just that it should be disclosed so that you know the total package of what that sponsor is earning in that deal. And so simple ways that you can do that, you can just ask like, hey, are you being compensated in any other way on this transaction that isn't disclosed anywhere? And that's a very quick and easy way just to ask them and get that response, just to ask the question. So we talked about the fair treatment and just having proper safeguards for investors in these transactions. And so some of the safeguards are pretty standard, pretty obvious, and it should be the legal documentation is there. You are able to review it. You are able to look at the financial background and the track record of the syndication and their reputation. So dive into those things and make sure that those things are there. All right. So another thing that you can do when in these deals to ensure that everybody's getting fair treatment, that sort of thing, is ideally, you know, some of the people that are in the transaction with you. And you can also get the cap table, which is a capitalization table, shows how much each investor has invested in the deal. And then you can see who has invested. If you know any of the people in there, you can reach out to them, just have that communication and just make sure that you guys are on the same page and there's not anything happening that they know something that you don't know, right? It's fairly straightforward. And if there is, then just advocate for fair treatment. Make sure that you are sticking up for somebody if they're not getting fair treatment and vice versa, you know? So those are some of the things. Outside of that, what you can do is you can diversify your investment. If you have $200,000 to invest, maybe take 50 and put it into four different deals and four different sponsors so you can see how they operate, see which one communicates the best, see who has the best disclosures, communication style, operates the property the best, all of those good things. It's just a way that you can, again, make sure that if there is any unethical operator in any of your investments, you can pick them out and you can understand and learn from that so that you can put more money with the operators who don't operate unethically going forward. And obviously, you want to stay informed and proactive in learning about the industry, seeing what's happening in the marketplace. You're putting your dollars to work there. So just like anything else, you want to stay up to date with anything that's changing in the market. So hopefully this helps you guys just think about where you are in the space and think about things to look out for when you're looking at some of these deals. As always, if you have any questions, reach out to me. And I appreciate you jumping on, reviewing the show, give me a like, all the good things so that we are pushing forward. We're in the top 5% of all podcasts right now globally. It's pretty awesome. And we're shooting to be in the top 1%. So your reviews are highly appreciated. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Surprisingly, most of the agents we speak with got into real estate hoping to gain passive income and become work optional. However, only 1 in 5 ever start investing. Most are simply too afraid to start. Once you get educated by listening to this show, you'll be able to overcome that fear and become the 1 in 5 who are finding financial freedom. Don't miss a single episode. If you want to stay up to date, the best way is to make sure you're subscribed. So if you haven't done that, go ahead and do it now. And we'll catch you on the next episode.